Welcome to WebAx, practical web accessibility tips.
WebAx.blogspot.com.
WebAx. Website accessibility. Web standards.
Welcome to WebAx, and podcast number 76, Web Accessibility Disasters.
Oh no!
Oh no!
This is Dennis.
Make an accessibility disaster movie, like 2012.
How you doing, Ross?
Pretty good, pretty good. How about you?
Pretty good. Let's see.
So today we're going to take a look at some web accessibility disasters. What was that?
That was supposed to be a sigh.
Oh, okay. Oh, wait, I thought maybe it was like Godzilla. Getting or something like that.
Say that again. Web accessibility disasters.
Web accessibility disasters. There we go. Everybody hates web accessibility disasters.
Okay, enough fun. Okay, so we have some fun issues and things to discuss, what's been going on, and some articles to talk about, and then, of course, our main segment. So what's this sketchbook giveaway?
Yeah, so I think we talked about this, probably not on the podcast, but when I was in California, I said I was kind of working on an idea for a product, and the idea was just like a sketchbook for when you're coming up with trying to brainstorm layouts or designs for the web. Mm-hmm. And so I finally got to the point where I'm ready to sell it and to kind of get people interested. You can actually win a free copy. All you have to do is go to the blog post where I announce it and leave a comment. I'll be giving away 5 copies for free. And right now there's only like 11 comments, so pretty good odds there.
Cool, man. That's awesome. I'll have to try that out.
Yeah. Well, I'll send you one to check out. Remind me to see your address.
All right, thanks.
No problem.
Excellent. And?
And you presented at the Accessing Higher Ground conference?
That's right. Just, a week and a half ago, I was outside Denver, Colorado for the annual Accessing Higher Ground conference. Let's see. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. The trip went pretty well. You know, I had fun meeting some people. Guess who I met in person for the first time?
Bill Gates.
No, but close. Jared Smith.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Very cool.
So just he and I had dinner like the first night, and then, you know, I attended pretty much all his sessions. He gave like 4 of them or so.
Wow. Is he good?
Yeah. So, yeah, it was cool, man. I met a couple other folks, and John Foliot, my new buddy from Stanford, was there. And so he was schooling people on HTML5 and captioning and stuff. That's his area of expertise, I'd say.
Very cool. And you presented about accessible Twitter?
That's right, and I presented on accessible Twitter. I'll put a link to my personal post about the event and... So you can view the slides there or on SlideShare. And I haven't checked it, but it should be well over 500 views already on SlideShare, which is pretty nice.
So did you get a standing ovation when you were done?
No.
but you should have.
Yeah, but... So it was like the second time I did... Well, not that presentation, but I modified the presentation that I did at the Open Web Camp at Stanford like a month or two ago. But doing this presentation, I got some good ideas on how to modify it, you know, to make it even better for the next time. So it was pretty cool. And towards the end, you know, people were asking, you know, if I could demo stuff because I had it open on my computer and on the screen. So I was demoing some things. And, yeah, it was pretty neat.
Yeah, I don't end up doing the same presentation enough to really, like, tweak it and refine it. So it's kind of nice to kind of be able to do a presentation and then realize, you know, this is how I can improve it, and then kind of do it again.
Yeah.
I usually end up talking about something different for one reason or another.
And if you're not familiar, the Accessing Higher Ground conference, it kind of emphasizes higher education and web and assistive technology. But mostly, you know, there's a lot of folks from colleges and universities there. And there's a lot of vendors that do different types of accessible technology, you know, like, screen readers and text-to-speech software and all this crazy stuff. So it's pretty neat. So,
do you get to demo any of it? Kind of take a look at what's new and...
Yeah, and there's a little demo hall area, you know, and people showing off their products. And well, some things aren't as easy to demo, you know, but it is really a good conference. So yeah, hopefully I can attend again next year. We'll see what topic I could come up with next year, or maybe I'll do this one again. I don't know.
Right. So you just need to make an accessible Facebook, and then then they'll bring you back.
A couple of people have asked me that, actually.
Really?
Yeah, like
that would be tricky, I'm sure.
yeah. Well, you know, it crossed my mind, but you know, only like the core functionality would really be done, at least at first.
Right. Right. You could probably do pieces like friends, people, and messaging and walls and stuff.
Yeah.
But
it would be a good project though. Then you could like just not put in all those crazy ads and stupid plug-in games. Right.
Right. Disable all the applications. Not allowed. So all you listeners, if you want an accessible Facebook, make sure to leave lots of comments or email Dennis and maybe we'll convince him.
All right. Well, let's move on. Let's talk about TEDx Detroit.
Yeah. So about October 31st, so a few weeks ago, you know, there's these, have you seen the TEDx videos and heard about the presentations and that sort of thing?
Actually, I wasn't too familiar, but the other day there was one going around that I watched that was really cool about mixing.
Oh.
Yeah, it was about some guy and his ideas about mixing physical objects with computers and the internet and stuff. It was a trip. But anyways, go ahead.
Yeah. So there are these big conferences that called TED, and there's like the core ones that are held, I think, in just a few different locations. It stands for Technology, Education, and Design. And they're super exclusive, and they've got some really incredible speakers. So if you ever have like a day to kill, look at some of the top TED videos on YouTube or on the TED website, and they're super inspiring. But they've kind of allowed people to do their own spin-off TED events called the TEDx event.
Oh.
It's just, you know, kind of self-organized sort of thing just to kind of get people involved in the idea. And they still tend to be pretty exclusive. You know, you have to apply to actually show up, and they try and get some really good speakers in.
Mm-hmm.
But they had one in Detroit, and I was lucky enough to attend. And there's some really incredible ideas, you know, very localized to the Detroit area, but, you know, alternative ways to do wind energy that's, you know, much more efficient and not quite as intrusive and just, you know, really innovative sort of approaches to things. So
that's cool.
So it's kind of, excited to go. I really wanted to, it's funny, they have, you have to explain what sort of big idea you're trying to promote when you go. So I put in web accessibility, thinking that, you know, maybe there'd be some sort of venue where, like, you set up a booth or something to talk about it. But I think they just meant in that's what you're going to talk to other people about when you get there.
Mm.
So I did what I could, but it wasn't much.
WordPress 2.9 is released, right?
They've got the first beta out, but yeah, I'm just super excited about it. I know you use WordPress also, but I use WordPress pretty frequently. You know, I've tried lots of different content management systems, and I tend to keep coming back to WordPress for a lot of stuff. But they've got some really cool features in the new version. Image editing and custom content types, post images. So, yeah, I'm just really excited about it.
Yeah, that's cool. I use WordPress. That's my preferred CMS. I use it for my personal blog and one or two other projects. But yeah, I heard it just won an award too, some kind of award for best open CMS platform, which isn't too much of a surprise.
Right.
But
right.
Yeah, I mean, WordPress makes best use of web standards, which is obviously good for web accessibility.
Right.
So, I mean, and of course there's has been some argument going back and forth about some of its issues with accessibility, but, you know, I mean, by and large, compared to all the other CMSs, it's way better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can't complain.
Yeah, it's definitely not perfect, but if you look at, like, Drupal or Joomla, you know, these other really popular ones, and kind of their out-of-the-box accessibility, it's definitely ahead of the game.
Mm. Definitely.
Of course, I'll probably get Drupal hate mail for saying that, but that's okay. It's one of those things where anytime I mention Drupal, people just, like, lash out.
Really?
I think they're just so passionate
Drupal fanatics?
About, yeah, which is cool, but, you know, nothing's perfect.
Right. Always need areas of improvement.
Right.
So, Ted, yeah, I didn't know that meant technology, education, and design. I was just noting that or typing in the notes here. I gotta watch more of those videos.
Yeah. I'll send you some of the better ones. Maybe we'll post them on the website too. There's just some really really great presentations. You'll watch these videos and leave and feel inspired.
Are they captioned?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Are they hosted on YouTube?
I believe they're hosted on YouTube, but they also have them hosted on the Global TED website.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on to articles. WebEx. So the first one I just wanted to mention, W3C has an article. Well, I don't know if you call it an article, but it's a web page. Accessibility, I guess, is pretty much the name of it. It's under standards, web design and applications, accessibility. But it's a good article or a page or whatever you want to call it. It just describes, you know, some of the basics for the case for web accessibility and some examples of actually what it is and stuff. So if you're a novice or if you you know, want to teach maybe your colleagues or your boss or a friend, you know, this is a good page to show that person.
Yeah, that's exactly kind of what I thought is, you know, it'd be great to If you have to kind of make the case to have somebody go there to take a look and kind of get a good idea, you know, it's a very credible website and goes over a lot of the basics as far as, yes, you should be concerned with this.
Now, what do you think about the redesign?
I think aesthetically it's great. Yeah, I think it works real well. You know, I know there's kind of a handful of different things that people were upset about with it, and I forget what they were offhand. But, you know, it looks
excited
like,
about or mad about?
Mad about. Did I say excited?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah, I remember there were a lot of complaints. I think as far as validation, like it doesn't validate, and they thought that was very hypocritical.
Yeah. You know, and I'm bringing it up now, and let's see. I'm not getting any warnings right now when I'm looking at it. So maybe they fixed some of the validation issues.
Yeah, it could be. That, I mean, it's been out for like a month or so.
Yeah, and that, for the listeners, if you're not sure exactly what we're talking about, the W3C relaunched their website at w3.org, and it's a pretty nice site. I'm looking at it now, and yeah, maybe they fixed, looks like they fixed most of those warnings. I don't see any coming up, so that's good.
Yeah, although one thing I noticed that's kind of weird, if you look at the this table of contents, see below 4, that should be an unordered list.
Where?
Oh, wait, maybe not. Never mind.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't want to.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the on this page, the what, why, what, how.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of done in a strange way, like I would, yeah, the bullets are like a character code, which is strange, but oh well.
Yeah, that is strange.
I'm sure they have their reasons.
I hope so. Okay, I'm just going to mention one last thing, and then later on we could criticize other websites.
Right, right.
I'm tabbing through this thing, and my hover effect with the mouse, I'm not getting with the tab.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. On that same menu that you're talking about, if you tab through it, you don't get the dark blue underline appearing. And on the very top, like global kind of menu, oh no, I am getting it on that menu. But then on the side menu, I'm not getting it. Kind of strange.
Oh, okay.
And then I'm not sure why they felt that they needed to completely redo the underline. They have the underlines on the text links, but why did they change it? I wonder why they changed it to a bottom border rather than just using the native text underline.
I don't know. Maybe make it thicker?
Yeah.
So it's more obvious? I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't see what the point of that is. They could have just used the regular underlines. But
right, right. I certainly don't think it's broken. But
no, it's not broken. I guess it's just, I don't get it.
Yeah.
And then on the right menu, when you mouse over and focus, like, you don't get any kind of hover focus response. It's kind of weird. Where the other ones, you do. So, yeah. Okay. But all in all, I guess it's a good job. They really seem to reorganize the content of the site, which I think it makes sense, but threw me off, you know, because I was so used to the old one.
Right, right. That's kind of like the XP to Vista effect, where
you're
so used to it one way or another. That
yeah, that happened to me too.
I think a lot of people.
All right. Well, we have some more articles to talk about, so we'll try to get through these quickly. Thoughts around universal access on mobile from Accessibility 2.0. So this is a good article about summing up like a panel on accessibility and mobile. I think it's from a conference.
Yeah, I think Accessibility 2.0.
Yeah. And so there's a guy from, or a woman, I think, from Google, somebody from the BBC, Opera, and then somebody I personally know, well, not personally, but professionally know, Greg Fields from BlackBerry. Was on, he's the accessibility product manager at RIM.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
So a colleague.
Yeah, a colleague. I've emailed him a few times. But yeah, he's really good. He's good. Every time I email him about something, he's like, oh yeah, I saw that, thanks. I'm like, oh, okay, just making sure. But anyways, there's some points listed from the from Greg, actually, I think, in the article. And some of them are, you know, just warning about the color and contrast, you know, avoiding red-green combinations and use these color contrast tools to ensure a ratio of at least 4.5 to 1, blah, blah, blah. Let's see, error messages, you know, making sure you catch your errors appropriately and prompt for a call to action. Focus placement, which we just talked about. It's very important. Consistency, grouping and chunking, keyboard access. You know, and these are just things that come up time and time again that you need to pay attention to that a lot of people don't.
Yeah. Yeah, easy to overlook, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it's good to see there's attention with accessibility in mobile, because mobile is getting so big, and it's only going to get bigger. And I almost wonder if we're going to kind of see the same thing where people kind of completely ignore it and then go, oh, yeah.
And hopefully it won't be too late this time.
Right. Right.
Okay, so check out that. And there were some articles going around on a while back on Kindle, and some universities like not using Kindle or accepting Kindle because they are not accessible. Kindle as the electronic book reader. That now is that produced by Amazon?
Pretty sure
that's an Amazon product.
It's the Amazon Kindle. Yeah.
And there's another one I found an article for. It's called Overdrive? I've never heard of this one, but there was an article on this, too, in the Los Angeles Public Library suspended buying Overdrive ebooks because they are inaccessible to users with print disabilities.
Interesting. I wonder if that's the one that Barnes & Noble produced, because I feel like Barnes & Noble just recently came out with one to compete with the Kindle.
But yeah, I'm not sure either. If you know, please comment on the blog post. And, okay, I just wanted to throw this one in here, too, because this is just a good article, but it's too long and complex to talk about. The accessible tabs in the new Yahoo homepage. There's a nice article talking about how they created it using YUI3 and Aria.
Ah, excellent.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I hadn't noticed this yet, but I'll check it out.
Yeah, it came out just a little over a month ago.
Okay.
So I've had it like stored in my browser, like tabs, and that. So I started reading it, but you know I haven't completed it myself. So,
gotcha.
But it's definitely a good article to look at. YUI 3 is looking better and better.
Yeah, it's such a versatile library. I'm surprised more people don't use
it.
It seems like.
Yeah. Okay. One last thing to mention. Just going back to the ebooks thing. Dolphin, which is one of the companies that were representing at the Accessing Higher Ground conference, they came out with an announcement about making ebooks accessible. What do you know? Yeah, Dolphin is an excellent company for like assistive technologies and stuff, so maybe they'll help with this whole big problem with making ebooks accessible. It sounds like they're off to a good start.
Absolutely. So there's so much that can potentially be gained there. Just because ebooks are all text and it should be easy to have access to a whole library of books.
One would think it would be easy, right? But
right.
Alright, let's move on to the main segment.
Website disasters.
Website disasters.
We just need a sound effect of like a big explosion, and that's what we can splice.
I was going to try to do another one, but I didn't want to mess up the recording in case I goofed up. But what? Oh, yeah, here it is. That's funny.
All right, so our first website, digitalaccessibility.ca.
I'm not sure. It might have been from an ad.
Oh, okay. Like a Facebook ad?
Like a Google ad. I think. I'm not positive. But I wrote this one down first. It was, you know, a while ago, but I don't remember. That's probably how I found it. So digitalaccessibility.ca.
Looks like this. Yeah. It's like they're a company based in Toronto, Ontario, which is Canadian, of course. And they say they are a team of expert AODA consultants and website developers.
Accessibility for Ontario. How do you pronounce that? Ontarians? People who live in Ontario.
Right.
Ontario is the province in Canada, right? Accessibility for Ontarians with Disabilities Act. AODA. Yeah.
So apparently in 2005, there was an act that was passed in Ontario that said websites should be accessible to everyone, including seniors and people with disabilities. And I think that's a great, great law. And it looks like they are marketing themselves as consultants to ensure the websites are accessible.
Yeah, so we're going to put that to the test. And before we start picking apart a few websites, I just wanted to note that We're trying to give constructive criticism, although sometimes we might get a little carried away. But you know, it's all in. I don't want to say fun, but you know, we're trying to just help out and give some constructive criticism, and it's free for them. So if they want to take our advice, you know, then that's cool.
And you know, there's always room to improve, and we should all strive to improve.
Yeah, everyone.
So
no matter what website it is, you're always improving, right?
Right. So the first thing I noticed looking at the site, you know, maybe one of the good things is, you know, it's pretty much all text. And that's really good. So it's, you know, if a screen reader or any other assistive technology would see the site or a search engine or whatever, it'd be very easy to kind of get to the content because, you know, it's not in Flash, it's not, you know, captionless video, it's all HTML text.
Yeah, and it has some nice, clean, blocky, like, design with its white, black, and this funky green, which is right. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, I thought, okay, that's a great approach. You know, they're very content-rich. It's all HTML content. It's not embedded in any different way, so it's a good start.
Indeed. And now, some areas to improve on?
Yep. So looking a little further, I think one of the first things we both kind of saw was there's no alt text on the logo or a main banner.
Right, that's one of the first things I check.
Right.
It's like, it says digital accessibility with, you know, the graphic and welcome. I think that's one big graphic, actually, that top thing.
Is it?
Yeah. And the alt is, there's no alt, there's an all alternative text.
Right. And so that's such an easy thing. And I could see maybe leaving out the welcome, that's not quite so important, but the name of the site is pretty important, you know, the logo.
Oh, I do see where they do have alt text, though. White box separates the font selector boxes from the menu boxes. That could totally go in Jared Smith's presentation, the, what's it called? Like, where you overdo it.
Right. Yeah, so the banner is not that important. Don't worry about it. But you need to know that the white box is separating.
Yeah, so they have it backwards there. You don't need alt text on that white separator box, but you definitely do need white alt text on the heading there.
Right.
Another big thing that I found, I call a triple whammy, is this font size tool. On the left, so above the main menu on the left, there's a font resize tool. So you could reset large or larger font, which the first thing, in my opinion, is it doesn't need to be there at all. And there's mixed opinions on that, but I feel, you know, font resizing is the job of your user agent, the browser, and not the website.
Right.
Now the second point is that this feature requires JavaScript. So if you don't have JavaScript, and it's not done unobtrusively, so if you don't have JavaScript enabled or available, then it still displays, but it doesn't work.
Right.
Now the third thing is more of a design thing. I think it'd be better if they added like a plus or minus sign or some kind of like little indicators, visual indicators, just to help, you know, comprehension of what that tool is.
Right, for kind of cognitive reasons.
Yeah, yeah. Design cognitive kind of reasons, just to see. You know, usually they have like a little plus sign or something if you want to increase it, or the size of it or something. So if they want to stick with using it, then that's just a suggestion.
Right. And kind of another thing we noticed, and this is more of a partially a usability thing, but that also does affect accessibility. Their links are not underlined, and I think kind of we've all got to the point where we realize, you know, you should have a really good reason not to underline your links. But their headlines are underlined. So their headlines look like links, and links look like headlines.
Yeah, everybody knows now that's a pet peeve of mine. So they've got it backwards, I think.
Yeah.
So speaking of the headlines or headings, the another issue with that is that they're not marked up appropriately. So they're not using the H2 tag or whatever to mark those up. Okay, I'm looking at it right now. The headings are a paragraph with the strong with a U. So they're underlined, bolded paragraphs. All you got to do is just put H2 instead, and it'll be like 100 times better.
Right. But at least they're using strong instead of the B tag.
Oh, yeah. I guess.
I mean, better than, yeah.
That's true. Oh, that's funny.
They've got a whole bunch of list items, but there's no unordered list tag, so it's just kind of some markup problems.
Yeah, and if you go to the... We're pretty much looking at the home page, but if you go to the second page, compliance, it talks about there's a couple what looks like ordered lists. They're using these little green triangles for lists, but it's not a list. It's not marked up as a list, so that's pretty bad. If you're, you know, they're going backwards again. If you're gonna mark, if you want to show something as a list, first mark it up as a list, then do the design. Definitely right. Not the other way around.
Right. Yeah. They just kind of have images and then text next to it, and the text isn't even in a paragraph. It's just kind of open text. So again, yeah, just some kind of markup issues there. I think we talked a little bit about there's quite a bit of inline and intrusive JavaScript.
Yeah, and, you know, that's kind of, I think, more of a nice to have, but it's obviously a better practice to, you know, use unobtrusive JavaScript and remove all your inline JavaScript in the markup and just put it in the header or an external file.
Yep.
Well, one last little thing you could just mention is I found this interesting. I'm not sure if there's any reason for this, but in the anchor tag for an email link, there's a target equals blank.
Yeah.
So that's kind of strange. I don't know. Maybe it's just an oversight or it's kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's going to pop up an email application, not another window, so...
Yeah, one would hope at least, depending on your browser.
Right.
But they are, you know, I'm looking at the doc type. It says XHTML 1.1. So, I mean, if you're using XHTML and you're declaring yourself a web accessibility person, you should probably know that target equals blank isn't even valid. So, I'd recommend just removing that attribute.
Yep.
All right. So hopefully they can make some improvements there, and let's move into the next one. Job Accommodation Network.
So this is a service provided by the U.S. Department of Labor's Office of Disability Employment Policy.
So I'm assuming they're funded by the U.S. federal government, it sounds like. So should be at least to the minimum Section 508 compliant, although it's outdated anyway.
Right. But, and it looks like it's hosted on the West Virginia University site, though, which is kind of strange.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not exactly sure the connection
there. Yeah, that's interesting. So on the good side, they're doing some good things. I noticed that they do have good alternative text.
On the pictures.
Yeah, and the logo is at the top.
Right.
And pictures? Did you find pictures?
Yeah, they've kind of got this slideshow that goes through and, you know, it's a slideshow image of people working. So I guess that's enough to
get I found some. There's a photo of a person on the four individuals page. So they got some alt text there. Employee using a wheelchair.
Yep.
So that's good enough for me.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think they did a fairly good job on keeping the navigation is actual text. It's marked up as an unordered list. And it's a drop down. So that's kind of at least, you know, a screen reader could read all that.
Yeah. So they
that was good.
So they did a pretty good job with that, and I'm tabbing through it, and it even highlights on the tab. You don't get the drop downs, but at least it, you know, they got the hover going on in addition to the mouse over effect. You know, and there's a nice like gradient background for aesthetic value, And
right.
But of course, if you don't get the drop downs, then if you click on the link, the drop down list, you know, should appear on the page that you go to, because then you wouldn't be able to access those subpages anywhere. So if you click on, like, for individuals, employers, job seekers, and entrepreneurs that are in the menu, they have those links on the main page. So
yeah, so that's good. You know, it's at least you can get to it if for some reason you can't use the drop-down navigation.
Right. So let's talk about some improvements now.
So some of the things they could probably think about, they don't have any heading tags, and some of them are marked up with just the B tag. So this is a situation where our friends at Digital Accessibility maybe have one up on them. They at least use the strong tag.
Yeah. And, yeah, I'm looking at the code, and it's inside a layout table with a div, with a span, with a bold.
Yeah.
So it's kind of crazy. So it says about Jan, which is really should be the H1 or H2 heading. That's all you need. But it's a bold inside a span, inside a div, inside a TD, inside a TR, inside a table, blah, blah, blah.
Right. And this definitely looks like from the source code that it's kind of a Dreamweaver build site.
Oh, yeah?
So it just might be the people who worked on it don't know any better. But, you know, if you're making a site,
oh, yeah, but don't,
it's funded by the government, you need to know that
yeah.
sort of thing.
I don't knock Dreamweaver now.
Nothing wrong with Dreamweaver, but kind of the...
It's like there's nothing wrong with guns unless you take the gun and, like, shoot somebody, right? But yeah, like, no, I see it's got the style 2 and dot style 3. That looks like Dreamweaver.
Right, kind of the Dreamweaver-generated style names. You can see the...
Oh, yeah. Hey, they're using a template, too, a DWT template, so yeah.
Ah, right. So rather than kind of doing the code editor, which is probably the better way to go, it looks like it was kind of created using the WYSIWYG.
So, yeah, learn the code.
Learn the code. That could be another drop that you put in Pamela.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, so... What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So with newer technologies like ARIA, you know, role or landmark roles and all this stuff, like, you know, in the future, you know, skip nav might not be so necessary. But today's world, I think you should still be using it. And especially if you have a longer menu at the beginning of the page and you're not using ARIA and stuff and you're not using proper headings, then you definitely need a skip nav. So, that's why for sure I wrote down on this that they need a skip nav.
Yeah, and it's a table-based layout too. So you can imagine and you're trying to go through this without a skip nav would be very cumbersome because I can see like 3 or 4 tables even before you get to the navigation.
They're using a body, an onload attribute in the body, which I guess if you've only got one function firing up on the load, then it's not too bad, but it's better, you know, keep it unobtrusive, and then you could always add other events and stuff more easily.
Yeah. And it's just such a simple thing to do, you know, simple fix.
Yeah.
So something they can take care of pretty easily. Let's see, they don't define a language. That's another easy fix.
Yeah.
So it's a good idea to define a language. Now, some people say that you really only need to do that if the language changes, but, you know, I think it's just a good practice.
Yeah. And the same can be said probably for the other two sites, and a lot of sites is... actually, the third site actually does it. But it's a practice, yeah, a lot of people don't do that. You know, if this is Section 508 compliant, I think they have to do that.
Oh, do they?
Let's see. I'm trying to remember from... years ago when I concentrated in Section 508 rather than WCAG 1. But anyways, yeah, so in you should always declare your language in the top of your document.
Yep. And you've got your summary on the layout table.
Oh, yeah. That's a double whammy.
double whammy.
First of all, it's a layout table, so that's one whammy. Second of all, I there's a whole debate about whether the summary attribute should even exist in HTML5 right now. But me and a couple others are leaning towards that it should be kept in there. And a summary attribute describes the table, generally a data table, what it's going to be about, and summarizes the data to help the usually a screen reader user, you know, be prepared for what's coming. And so if you have a layout table, you don't need a summary.
Right. Certainly don't need one that says table that holds contents of Jan's website.
Exactly. So you definitely do not use that. You do not need that. You only need it if it's a data table. Then I suggest using that. So, and I found a fun little code snippet that can definitely be removed. The non-breaking space, non-breaking space, non-breaking space, non-breaking space, non-breaking space.
Yeah. So we're kind of using the space bar to space stuff out rather than CSS or... That sort of
right.
Thing.
And for screen reader users, I hope it, it doesn't read space. But I assume that's what it does. I'm not sure.
Probably depends on what you want.
Or maybe the settings. If anybody knows, please leave a comment.
Right. So, yeah, they've got some things, you know, definitely... that they did pretty well. They've got some minor things they can fix and some more complicated ones. But overall, you know, they could probably, beyond the table-based layout, I think they could make it pretty accessible without much work, you know.
Yeah.
Put in some headings, take out that summary table, add a skip nav, you know, take out the non-breaking spaces, and they're doing pretty well.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a lot of just little fine-tuning. I mean, you know, that would take minimal amount of work.
WebEx.
So let's move on. The Rose Project. RoseProject.org.
They say our mission is to provide maternal and child health care to the economically poor people of Malawi. Malawi. That's what it's called, right? With a particular reference to HIV treatment and care. So it seems like a very good project and for a good cause.
Totally. And the only reason I chose these people is because somebody had tweeted about this website being on the list of most accessible websites in the Irish Web Awards.
Interesting.
So, here, let me bring this thing up. All the categories have about, let's see, yeah, like 9 winners or something listed. For the most accessible websites, the Rose Project was listed 3rd. I don't know if the order matters or anything in the Irish Web Awards. That's at awards.ie/webawards.
So that kind of caught your attention? You wanted to check it out?
Yeah, so somebody like tweeted about that saying, you know, I think they even questioned it or something. So I'm like, of course that piqued my curiosity. So that's how I got on this list. So let's take a look at this. Aesthetically, it looks pretty nice. I see one glaring error is the background color in the upper left, the logo is white when I think they meant it to be this grayish color like the rest of the site.
Yeah, it seems like
I'm guessing maybe they're looking at it on I don't know what browser.
IE maybe?
An IE6 or IE7, possibly?
Could be. It's just an oversight.
But anyways, it looks nice, right?
Yeah. And I think, you know, first pass at it, you know, they're doing some things pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I noticed is that the markup is pretty semantic. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it looks like, you know, pretty clean code. You know, they're using headings where necessary. There's not, you know, don't have divitis or any of those sort of things. I see they're even using a definition list, which is not even that common to do, so it shows that they at least know that exists.
And they added the language.
Yeah, yeah. So this is the only site we came across that did have language specified.
And that is in the HTML tag at the top is where you specify the language.
Yeah. And they do have this little Flash application, and I noticed they embedded that in an unobtrusive way. You know, the old method of using embed and object tags doesn't validate. So they did use a JavaScript alternative to kind of get that embedded, which is good.
Yeah. I have a point about that later, but yeah. And they're using, like we mentioned, they're you know, pretty good clean code. It's XHTML strict, which yep. which I like. So well done. Well done in that area.
On a side note, are you doing HTML5 now, or are you still sticking with XHTML strict?
Well, I'm still mostly doing XHTML strict. My personal homepage, DennisLembry.com, is HTML5. You know, and I'm thinking about maybe some other sites I could change over, but nothing at this moment. You?
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm still doing XHTML strict. I played around with HTML5, and I like it, but until I find a compelling reason to, it's kind of more just for fun.
Yeah, yeah. Until, I mean, it's got a bunch of great additions and, you know, enhancements and everything, and we could talk for hours about that, but yeah, until other browsers, you know, until the spec is a little more stabilized and other browsers support it more, because there's a lot of older browsers that are, you know, I mean, you could make it degrade pretty gracefully, but, you know, why? It's a question. You don't need to. So anyways. Okay, some improvements. Improvements.
So the Rose project. Yeah, they do quite a few things good. I think overall fairly accessible. There's some pretty interesting oversights though, and I will let you begin.
Yeah, the first one is what I mentioned about the, or was going to mention about the Flash embedding, and that is all good except they made a little gaffe when you turn off JavaScript. There is a image, you know, replacement image when Flash or JavaScript is not supported. But the image, I don't think, is the image they want. It's like the for position only image or something. It has Latin text and it has buttons on it that don't work and things like that.
Right. So it looks like something you can interact with. But, yeah, it's got play buttons and arrows and none of them work. It's just an image.
Right. And
so
yeah, and the alt text obviously isn't gonna work either. So,
right.
Yeah. So they need to work on just fixing that up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it seems like they could fairly easily make an HTML alternative of this sort of thing. You click on an image to go to a different page. That sort of thing.
Yeah, or just, you know, just have the images with alt text, yeah, and when you click it, you go to, like, the video page or wherever this stuff is, whatever the stuff is.
Right.
Or the stories. It says view all the stories, but there's no link. So I guess you go to the main stories page.
Right. And then you notice the skip link doesn't work.
Yeah, did you try that?
Yeah, on the home page, it does take me down to the positive stories.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Okay.
But maybe there's other pages where it doesn't
I don't know.
Do you remember?
It didn't work for me. And I tried those three browsers I mentioned earlier. And so there is a skip link. So I don't know if that's good or bad, I guess, depending on whether it works or not.
Right. Well, if it's not working in some situation, that's definitely a problem.
Yeah, yeah. But that's good, at least that they're aware of it and trying to make it work. If it right. does or doesn't, then that at least is good. So that's half the battle, right?
Right. The G.I. Joe thing, knowledge is half the battle.
All right. The logo, missing alt text. Uh-oh. We have another one of those? Let's try it. Oh, I know what it is. It's this, the image says the Rose Project and AIDS in Africa living and dying with dignity. So that's the part that's missing.
Yeah, and that's significant, you know. I mean, that kind of tagline really describes what the page is.
Yeah, that's the tagline of the whole organization, so.
Right, and if you pay a lot of attention to usability, you'll know how important the tagline mm-hmm. is on a website. So to completely lose that is not good.
Yeah, and SEO and blah, blah, blah.
Right. And that's another real easy fix, you know, just.
Well, pretty easy, depending on which way you want to do it. Because you could just right. add it in alt text, or you know, or you could change it into like an H2 tag or something.
Right, do image replacement. Yeah.
What else we got? Headings, H1s should be H2, such as oh yeah, okay. So they have a lot of headings on some subheadings on the page. Like the main mission statement, latest news, featured project, and those all sound like H2s to me. But they're all marked up as H1s.
Right. So, yeah, just kind of their hierarchy of information could be better defined.
And then the linking, sublinks that should be underlined are not. It's kind of... let's see. It's kind of inconsistent. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think this is another kind of easy sort of thing. For example, they've got like a listing of international partners, Irish Aid, and it's like a headline and then some text underneath it. And I think it's okay in these situations to kind of leave the headlines unlinked underlined, even though they're links, if you have like a read more that is underlined.
Yeah, yeah, they did a good job with that because those are long headlines and they're in a blue color, which is significantly right. different than the black. So right. I actually don't mind that they're not under.
Yeah.
And like you said, they have the read more like underneath. In addition.
They do a good job under latest news where they have those components. You know, the headline is linked but not underlined. They do have an underlined read more. If you go further down the page, they have a section that doesn't do that. International partners, business and media. You know, there's headlines that are links you would never know are links.
What the? under international partners? Yeah, yeah, and then next to it under business and media, it says Bill Clinton in that same, but that's not linked.
Right.
Yeah, so that's not so good.
And more on international partners and more on business and media. These are kind of like more links, but those aren't underlined. Yeah. So
they should do the same treatment there. And then, but also one thing they definitely need to add is just to add the simple focus pseudo, the focus, help me, pseudo class, right?
Pseudo selected.
Yeah. Because when you tab through, nothing, none of those hover effects appear in the focus.
Right.
So that's an easy fix too on the links.
Right. And I noticed there's a few places they use the small tag, and I know maybe this is getting a little pickier, but you know that's kind of a very markup for display rather than markup for semantics sort of thing.
Good point. And oh yeah. I just want to add about the links. Sorry.
Links are important. You know, it's what you do online. Fill out forms.
The links are important. Yeah,
links.
Yeah.
Links are very important.
I did notice that And I copied a snippet of the CSS in my notes here. They actually, in the CSS, the focus is completely removed. The outline style is none, outline width is zero. So that's totally bad. But I think I have an idea of how that happened. I think that my guess is that they used a CSS reset.
Oh,
the code at the top of the CSS file, if you look at it, and they just neglected to put the focus back.
Gotcha. And that's, I think that's an easy problem to make. But if you kind of have like your boilerplate HTML CSS template and it has reset, at least what I do is there's certain things I know automatically to put back in right after the reset because I at least want something there. And focus would be one of them.
Definitely. All in all, pretty good job. Lots of little things, and again, it could be vastly improved.
Yep. Maybe they could get higher up on that accessibility, most accessible Irish website list or something if they fix some of these things.
Definitely. Great. Well, thank you for joining me in the analysis and constructive criticism, Ross.
My pleasure.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, and it was. So,
yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, you too, and to all our listeners who are going to have some turkey and stuffing on Thursday.
And to everybody else who doesn't know what the hell we're talking about.
Right. Have some anyway.
Thanksgiving, that's just an American holiday, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. If you're not in America and want an excuse to have some turkey and have some stuffing, then because Webex says you could.
And mashed potatoes with gravy and cranberry sauce. And rolls.
Rolls.
And wine. Although I hear they did serve popcorn at the very first Thanksgiving meal back in, 1600 and something.
Did they?
That's what I hear, yeah, seriously.
Maybe I'll make some popcorn. That's easy to do.
When the pilgrims came over from England, from the motherland, and the Indians, the American natives, shared a feast with their guests.
Yep. Right. Which included all those great foods we just described. And popcorn, which will be my contribution.
So, I'm doubting that we're going to do a December podcast, so happy holidays to everybody. I'll probably do some kind of review blog or something, year in review, like I usually do. And
Sounds great.
Okay, Ross. Talk to you next year.
Yeah, have a good rest of the year.
Okay, you too.
Stay accessible.
Okay, bye.
WebEx podcast and blog at webex.blogspot.com. That's WEBAXE.blogspot.com.